And so, when we came back, Rotary asked us if we would give a presentation, and we talked to them about it, and they said, you know, we think we can help you with this. If you want to go back next year, then we'll see what we can do. And so the next year we went back and we took in a team of nurses, and we had women's groups and young women's groups from, yep.
How many in the team?
How many in the team?
You said a team of nurses? Five.
Okay. And women's groups and young women's groups and everything from all over, as far away as Ohio, Virginia, Washington, you know, heard about the project and sent things. And this just shows some of the 2,000 diapers and blankets and those kind of things that we took in. And for every person that went in, we were able to take two suitcases that weighed 100 pounds each. And so we were able to take 10 suitcases that weighed 100 pounds each, approximately 1,000 pounds of supplies for them. This is Romanian ultrasound to hear the baby. I mean, it's just a little horn that they put on the woman's belly and they try and listen on the other end. And I didn't even get the really primitive ones, but occasionally these break off. And so they had pieces of cardboard that they had taped on so that they'd have a place to rest their ear, and they poked a hole through it with their pin, you know, to try and hear. And so when we went in, we were able to take in supplies, including bottles and nipples. We took in a washing machine. The hospital that has a 300-bed capacity didn't even have a washing machine. And when we took those items in, then the person who buys the supplies for the hospital wanted to confiscate them. He didn't think that the women and children's services should have them. He wanted for the important patients to have them. Because there, women and children are not important in these things. You know, think about the way that it was 100 years ago in the United States, and you'll see that it's very much similar to that. So that year and the next year, we worked in labor and delivery with the women, teaching them, you know, what was necessary, the kind of things that they weren't doing. They never listened to a baby's heartbeat because they didn't have stethoscopes. You know, so once the baby was born, the baby wasn't dried off because they didn't have blankets and things to dry the baby off, and the baby was just wrapped wet and not assessed, and it's a survival of the fittest. And that's the reason why their death rate is so high. So after we had worked for a couple of years side by side in the delivery rooms, and this tickles me because we did get a picture of a true knot, which is fairly rare, you know, and a lot of babies die in the womb because of the knot, and then as the cord begins to grow, then it blocks off the oxygen and the nutrition and cannot carry off waste. But anyway, each year that we've gone back in, we have taken back in supplies, and we have learned what it is that they don't understand and what their education does not give them. And so this last year, we decided that what we wanted to do was take in education. And the most wonderful thing happened. I asked Nancy Pettis, when she went to an international conference in San Francisco, I said, whatever you do, see if you can bring me back some Romanian emails from Romanian clubs there. And so she went, she came back, and she had three emails from three clubs. And so I wrote each of them, told them that we worked in labor and delivery, that we needed a medical person who could help us with translation, and just that type of thing. Sent off those three emails, and one answered back immediately and said, oh, we have an OBGYN in our club, and he would love to help. He just thinks this sounds like the most wonderful thing. And so, you know, you try to stay low-key so that you don't offend anyone. And I said, we have three posters that we would like translated, and we are going to give them to the Midwives Association, because the third year back, I made inroads into the Midwives Association. And they said, oh, well, we can distribute those across the country. We have 300 members, and if you can provide, you know, posters for us, then we'll send that education back with them, and they can post them in their labor and delivery room. So he said, well, I'll translate those for you. And the posters, the first one was on how to tell progress of labor by measurements of a woman's body. Since they have very few gloves, you know, they're not measuring and checking on a frequent basis. That helped them to understand that. The second one was the most uncomplicated delivery, how you can do a delivery without complications and the easiest way to do it. And then the third one was what you do with the baby after the baby is born. You know, so he translated those, and then he wrote me back and he said, we can't do these for just the midwives. The doctors don't know this. And I knew that. You know, we knew that from having been in those labor and delivery rooms. But he just got so excited, and he said, oh, let's do enough to send out off to the Rotaries and have the Rotaries do this. And so he sent out emails to the Romanian Rotaries. And let's see, I think there were 56 Rotary clubs in Romania and Moldavia last year, and this year they hope to have 64. They have 64 in process. And so Moldova has the same language that Romania has, because a part of the Romanian country was cut off by the Soviet Union when they received what they should have for helping to win the World War II. And so in Moldova, the people are even poorer than they are in Romania. And I've got to say that, you know, you look at being poor as a real hardship, but these people have helped me come to understand that if you've never had anything, you don't expect anything. And if people bring you something as a token, my goodness, that goes a long, long ways. These people are just the most loving, happy people you would ever meet in your entire life. And we have on a frequent basis been invited into homes because we showed interest in a woman spinning yarn, you know, sitting by the road out spinning yarn, and she says, oh, well, I have a loom inside. Do you want to come in and see? And I have rugs piled up, and do you want to see them? And would you like to see my house? And do you have a place to stay? And do you need anything to eat? And I mean, we stopped one year to take a picture of a well that has the great, big, huge, long timber, and then the rope that you lower down in with the bucket on it. And she says, well, if instead of, instead of just taking a picture of it, do you want a drink of water? And before we even answer, you know, she runs inside. She gets all these little cups and lines them up on a tray and comes out and she fills all the little cups. And while we're drinking the water, she says, oh, let me go and collect some apples for you from the tree. And she, you know, I mean, they are that kind of people.
Was that water good to drink?
So, I hope so. You know, yep. And then this last year, you know, was very difficult because Marika would not be going. And so the year before that, we had found a translator. And I just have to say that God provides what is necessary. And that's the only way that I have to explain it. Because last year when we didn't have a translator and needed one terribly, I just wrote and said, we need a translator and someone who can drive, and they found a man who spoke English and could drive, and the first thing that he said to me was, my wife is off for a few days. Could she come with us? Before I even answered, he said, she is a baby nurse. I'm like, she's what? And he says, well, I don't know the word for it. I said, she's a midwife in the hospital? He said, yes, that is what she is. And so, I mean, the Lord just provides. And this year when we went back, he had made his wife take her vacation time so that she could come back into the hospitals with us because she loved it so much. And she works in the largest hospital in Romania. They teach the doctors and nurses. It's one of the three facilities that teach the doctors and nurses how to do the deliveries. It is way more modern than you would find in a rural hospital, but it would be about the 1950s here, equal to the 1950s. Last year, they painted the halls of their hospital to make it more cheery so that it wasn't so dark and gloomy. So it was fun. This year when we went, several other Rotary groups helped. The Bucharest Old Court Rotary is where Dr. Calum Ferescu comes from, and he contacted other Rotaries, and Galat Rotary surveyed their entire area and found out how many labor and delivery rooms there were and ordered one for every single labor and delivery room. Now, I knew that the man who was the president there was a doctor, but I didn't know what he was a doctor of. He's one of the first plastic surgeons in the country. And he doesn't wear white. Everything he wears is black. Black turtlenecks, black jackets, black pants, black all the time. All black. And he has a very modern clinic, but as of yet, he has very few patients. And so he goes outside of the country to learn plastic surgery, and then comes back inside the country and hopes that people who are Romanian who've left the country will have surgery done and that they tell their friends. And he says that that's approximately the people he's been able to serve, because for the most part, most people in Romania couldn't afford his services. But because he can work in a cheap country, he can offer the services for cheaper than most people get them. And we had, this is the doctor up here, but he had contacted a television crew to come and film, and so we were followed by a television crew, and it was their way of helping to publicize that they had a Rotary group in this big city, and it's one of the largest cities in Romania. So he helped us, and then, in Bacău, we took supplies into Bacău, and they distributed. We took them into Brămănescu Vâlcea Rotary, and there were two groups there, one that is all handicapped people, one Rotary group that's all handicapped, and they have just received a new facility that they can exercise in and train in. Rotary helped them remodel the inside of an old building so that it looks new on the inside, and then they had raised the money for about five or six machines, you know, treadmills and bicycles that were stationary and all of those kind of things. And they said, wow, this is wonderful. But the physical therapist said, I wish I could find out some exercises and things that help. And so we said, well, we'll try and put you in touch with someone that can do the basic things. Because a lot of times over there, what is done is not the basic. We toured a little park where things had been built for children that children could use. One of the other projects that we saw was, I'm trying to think of the American word, library. Because I always think it in French, you know, when I start talking about other countries. But they have started a library, and actually, at this point, I already have gotten medical books and scientific books that are on their way for their medical library, because they said, we really need medical information. And so I contacted a woman in Colorado who said, yeah, I would be happy to do that. And she says, not only that, but I have a grant that means it doesn't cost us anything at all to ship. And it's very expensive to ship anything there. So this is a cute story that I kind of wanted to tell you about. This doctor, when we came in, we brought eight sets of pediatric stethoscopes and obstetrical stethoscopes, plus the eight sets of three posters each for them, because they had eight rooms that had been ordered, you know, that they wanted all of this information and supplies for. Now, when I first started talking with the manufacturer of the stethoscopes on the internet, he said he would give me a rock bottom price and we could get 100 of each of those for $5,200. Now that is way good. That is like $26 for a stethoscope and $26 for an obstetrical stethoscope, which is pretty darn good. Well, we couldn't raise that much money. We didn't have as much help as we had last year in other groups joining us. And finally it got down to the point that there was about 3 weeks before we were supposed to leave, and I just said, you know, send me the pediatric stethoscopes. We'll have to go with the obstetrical stethoscopes next year. And he wrote me back and he said, oh, I've done it for third world countries before and I can do it again. I'll give you all 200 of them for $2,000. So, I mean, they came, they were nice. They weren't, you know, our top of the line, but they were nice. And when the doctor saw me come in with these, she said, let me take this and test the equipment. And so she picked up the pediatric stethoscope, and I'm thinking, oh, please, dear Lord, let this be acceptable to her, you know. And she took it in, and they had a little baby in an incubator that was underweight and having problems breathing, and she took out the stethoscope, used it, came back, and she said, wonderful. Thank you so much. And I thought to myself, you know, for a little group like we are, 13 to 15 members, depending on when you're talking about it, to be able to take enough in for 100 labor and delivery rooms is absolutely amazing. And Kim donated everything for all of the posters. The printing, the paper, you know, everything. So that was absolutely wonderful. And then in every place that we went, all the people that went with us took blankets and hats, baby hats, and diapers and burp cloths, and we handed them out to all of the women who were in the hospital to have babies. And that's always very pleasant, because especially if you take in people who are not medical professionals like we did this year, that's something that they can feel good about doing, because these women are just hugging and kissing you, and do you want to hold my baby, and do you want to, you know, it's wonderful. I wanted you to see, this is all the district leaders for Moldavia and Romania up here, and we learned a lot this year about Romania. In the past 3 years, I have spent all the time in the rural areas. And so I really haven't seen any wealth until this year. And this year, just going in to the great big cities and having them distribute, I mean, they rented a ballroom for their district meeting. They had, I mean, they were dressed to the teeth. We just kind of went, because we were not expecting that. And everywhere that we met with the Rotary group, they were dressed to the nines too. There wasn't a man who wasn't wearing a suit, you know, nice two- or three-piece suit. There wasn't a woman that wasn't in high heels. And yeah, so we found out with the first meeting that we pulled the best things that we had out of the suitcase whenever we met with the group. So I'm just going to go through real quickly and just show you a few pictures. And I don't know if I even dare stop them to tell you about it, but we'll see.
Would you just mention about your...
Let me know what kind of ice cream you want.
Okay, thanks.
About items that you've taken in there that are disposable or throwaway after use.
Oh, yeah. The first year that we went in, since it was just personal donations, we decided they would not tell us what they needed, and they just said, whatever you bring, we will need. And it was hard to understand that was truly the way it was. But we took in things like stethoscopes and thermometers and oxygen masks and tubing and, you know, the basics.
That's what struck me the most, is when you said, whatever you bring,
they will need.
And you ask them several times.
It's almost crazy. Yeah, we
did. Give some suggestions.
We asked them, anything that you bring. And so it's just, it's been amazing. But, I said when I came back, when I went back the first year, the second year, when I went back, all of the oxygen masks were still hanging on the wall. All of the disposable things were cleaned, re-cleaned over and over and over again and reused. And I can tell you that there are still several of them that we brought on the first trip that now, after 4 years, are still hanging on the walls. A lot of the medications, those kind of things, they come and go.
You mean hanging on the wall, they haven't been used at all?
No, they've been used over and over and over again. Where we would use them for one patient and throw them away, they use them over and over again.
Hopefully that doesn't, tongue depressors wouldn't be the same.
Or rectal thermometers.